It's a new day. It's a news day. It's a Tuesday. It's Bluegrass Bios. Good morning, Lexington. You're listening to WLXL LPFM, Lexington Community Radio. We're live from STEAM Academy in North Lexington. In studio, as always, is Mayflower, Lexington Sours.
Hello.
Maple, Benjamin Wolf.
Hi.
It's because you're decorous. And Mayday, Mayday, we're going down. Kyle Bigelow, our guests today. It's because I'm a disaster. Our guests today are the hosts of What Shayna Say, on our fraternal twin station, 93.9 WLXU, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Chris Vandergrift, the co-founder and event manager of LexBeerScene.com and CEO of BallotReady.org, Alex Nimchevsky. Today is an election day, so if you're registered, you can go out and vote. It's also Lexington Craft Beer Week, so after you vote, you can go out and drink. And it's Tuesday.
After you vote.
After
you vote.
And if it's Tuesday, so...
I think too many people might be doing that already.
All right, I'm almost done with the reading portion of this. And it's Tuesday, so if you're listening to us, that means that you just got done listening to What Shayna Say. And she'll be in with us in just a minute. Until then, how are you guys doing today?
We're good.
Okay, great.
All right.
Hey, here's Shayna walking in right now.
Hey.
Hey, so you're yeah, you get settled. You're, here we go.
Yeah.
So you're just getting off the air, jumping from one studio to the other,
yeah.
Huh? Well, thank you for coming in and talking to us. You know, we've been scheduling this for quite a while.
We have, haven't we?
How'd the show go today?
It went awesome. We had Miss Annalisa Wagner from Dress for Success Lexington, and she was in there talking about the program and how it's empowering women and trying to get them ready for the workforce, and whether that's getting them a attire, looking over resumes or cover letters. So she was definitely an awesome woman to be on the show today.
You've had a lot of great guests in just the few weeks that you've been on air, right?
Yeah. I have. Each show is getting better and better.
Tell me about some of your favorite guests that you've had on so far.
Okay, well, my... favorite was about two segments ago, and we did relationships, and I had two students from Kentucky State University, one named Asia and the other one named Clay. And I mean, I do a call-in show, and the phones were just going off the hook. You know, we got to talking about cheating. You know, that can be touchy. You know, especially with double standards. We got the female point of view, the male point of view. I mean, the show was over, and I was still getting phone calls. So I would think that was the best show, because to me, the measure of the best would be, you know, the amount of viewers we're hitting. The amount of people who have something to say, I want to share their experience. So I would have to say that was one of my favorites.
So in that instance, like, you kind of have to play mediator, right?
Yeah.
Right? Don't let people get too heated on either side.
Yeah, I mean, we got hot in there. Sorry, hot is too hot, but we got hot, you know, so... Especially having the male versus female. I know one of the big things we talked about was when a guy cheats, they want the female to forgive them. But when the woman cheats, it's like it's done. So it's like, how does that even work? Why is that even okay? You know? So that was one of the big things. And two, dating during college, we all know that can be kind of sketchy or iffy, you know, because you have a relationship, but you have other people in that relationship, kind of, because, you know, you got friends. And
right.
Oh, it was crazy. It was good. It was good.
Okay, speaking of college, you just graduated this weekend, right?
Yes, I did, sir. Congratulations. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You went to Morehead State?
Mm-hmm.
And what was your major?
Strategic communications with a minor in business marketing.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you find your way to broadcasting?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I feel like I've always had that niche in the back. Like, I was the one at church that's like, well, Shayna, give the announcements, do this, because I wasn't afraid to talk in front of people.
You project.
Yeah, I mean, it's just me. I be me, and, you know, it comes out, you know? So my junior year, I knew I loved to talk, so that's why I went into communications. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do yet, so I was just like, okay, I can be a spokesperson. I can do PR. I can be the Olivia Pope. I can do that. And... junior year advisor of mine, she was like, would you like to host this television show? You have a great personality. And I was like, me? Okay. Yeah, I don't mind. You know, I'm never going to turn anything down, because on campus, I host a lot of things. Like, we have Morehead's Got Talent, Morehead Idol, and I'll always be like the Ryan Seacrest and hosting everything. So I was like, yeah, I could definitely do that. And when I got to doing it, I was actually hosting and producing it. Like, so I was getting the guests, writing up a script. The only thing, I just had a crew that was in front of me, like, okay, and you're on now, and 5, 4. So, but I loved it. I love being up there. I love talking. I love getting the stories, getting the juice. You know, my mom always said I didn't come out the room crying. I came out quiet because I was meddling. So I like to know people's business. I like to know what's going on. So that was a niche. So then something just one night, it was my senior year, and I was like, this past year at the beginning of the semester, and I was like, what do I really want to do? Yes, PR is fine, but I don't find the joy in it as much as I do talking to people. So then I started to research, and I was like, I came in for Dana B. She does the B-side, and I co-hosted with her one day, just interning, trying to see if, like, radio or TV is where I want to be. And I love the uncensorship. I don't even know if that's a word. Of radio is kind of, yeah. I can be me, you know, of course, following guidelines, but I can be me. The only thing I miss about TV is the 5, 4, 3, you know, somebody okay. Let me know what's going on, because I kind of have to keep looking at my clock.
Well, you got to do that now yourself.
Yeah.
You got to keep your eye on the clock. You got to keep your eye on the board.
It is a little difficult because I'm doing everything for myself. My mentor was like, you need to get you like a little intern, a producer. I was like, well, I am the intern, you know. But I love it. I love communicating with people, finding the stories. I love looking for facts, stuff to tell, like, ooh, this would be a great topic for on air, or ooh, my listeners are gonna love when I say this or do this. So I just love it, and I get to be me, and I think that's what I'll enjoy the most. It's like when people listen to my shows, like people that know me, like, you are so you up there, and you know, I love it. So I'm glad I'm doing it. Hopefully mainstream one day, you know.
Yeah. So this is what you want to do.
Definitely. Okay. That's why I try to brand myself, logo, pages, anything, just getting my name out there, getting the experience. Like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to walk into a mainstream radio and get right on air, but I want them to know, like, I'm in this, and this is for
you know
real.
What you're doing.
Yeah.
So this station came along right at just the right time for you, like, just as you're graduating.
Perfect. It was so perfect.
Like, now, how did you hear about it?
Okay, so Dana B., who does the B-side, she is a sorority sister of mine, and when I was trying to get into this field, one of my sorority sisters told me she hosts a show. So, excuse me, I contacted her, and I was came in, and I had been interning with the station, like, downloading music and things like that. And
Legally, of course.
Let's add that in. We don't want any problems. But I was, you know, transferring music to one computer to the next, helping record shows and stuff I kind of knew nothing about. And still to this day, if I have to do it, I'm going to need some help. But I was like, you know, Hap was asking me, what do I want to do? And I was like, I would love to be on air. So one day he was telling me about the opening up of WLXU. And I just threw out this genius idea, like, how about I do my own show? And he was like, sure. I was like, oh, yeah. Is that easy?
Yeah, that's what I have been trying to tell people for the better part of the year. Just come down. I'll show you around. You'll get on the board. You'll get on the mic. And you'll fall in love with it.
I'm telling you.
It's not... People get really scared. I don't want to be on the radio or whatever. I can't quite do something. Yes, you can.
It's awesome. Like,
just getting used to it.
That night, I was just planning, like, okay, what can I call it? What am I going to do? And what am I going to come up with? And then, I mean, I'm glad I got the opportunity, that I seized it, and that I wasn't afraid to ask, and that.
Yeah, it's a really good show. Right out of the gate, it was very, very, very good.
I appreciate it. And you all welcome me in, because you always open the door for me. And
that's right.
I appreciate that.
It's looking out. LaShana Sawyer is in studio. She's the host of What Shana Say every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on 93.9 WLXU, Lexington Community Radio. Kind of our, what would you call it, like our cousin station?
Yeah.
No, we're like
sisters.
Brother and sister.
Yeah. We're actually
siblings.
Hooked together.
Yeah.
We're like conjoining twins.
Yeah, we're just right. Joined. Like, yeah, no distance between us whatsoever.
So it's an interactive community radio show that discusses current issues in the African-American community. So just sort of looking around here, we're awfully Anglo in this room. So what's going on in the African-American community?
Okay, so I felt like this station, like I said, when I asked Hap, what could I do a station, I was looking at what is something that I can do that's different. You know, so I kind of went on the line, looked at all the shows, and You know, we have people talking about bikes. We have, you know, urban conversations, which is really good. Some
Joy, Future.
Awesome. I was listening to their show, and I kind of saw a need for a discussion African American community, but from my point of view, from my age level, like the college students. I feel we didn't have that discussion for African Americans for the age group. So I wanted to be the voice for them, and you know, like, we know what we're talking about. We got ideas. We have concerns.
You're all adults now.
Yeah, you're grown. What?
You
know, I'm back in my grandmother's basement.
You know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about.
Right, but
it's time to put that out there for people your age.
Exactly. Yeah. And I wanted us to, you know, and like I said, Urban Conversations is excellent. I love it. I listen to it.
Yeah.
I believe all the podcasts, all the shows on Lexington Community Radio are like truly genuine and are awesome. But I wanted something that spoke for the African American community, for the college students, from the 20s to the 30s. You know, that even though my mom and granny listen to it, y'all 20 at heart. but just give them that voice and the problems that I see arising are not even just problems, but issues, concerns, achievements. I wanted to be that voice and give them that voice.
Well, yeah, it's a completely different world than it was for our parents and our grandparents. Now.
Definitely.
I've mentioned a few times my grandfather is 98.
Wow.
And he has, it's an accomplishment.
Yeah, I have a great grandmother that's 103. So.
Oh, wow. Well, we're asking my grandfather, you know, do you want to make it to 100? And he's just kind of like, whatever. Maybe. I don't know. You know, that kind of thing. But yeah, he's watched all this. I mean, imagine he was born into a house that had no electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So forget your computer, forget the TV, forget the radio, no refrigerator in his home. And I think like one of the floors in his house was dirt. It was just like painted.
So real deal. They had to get
dirt. And he lived through a little bit of the Depression, World Wars, watched all of this stuff happen. I mean, it's the amazing amount of change that's happened in his 98 years. And he doesn't know what Snapchat is.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what... He can barely use Facebook, and he's Skyping now, which is very, very, very impressive.
Yeah,
but yeah, they all want to know about these things. So it's not just your age group; it's the people older want to know what the kids are up to and young adults are thinking.
And this too, that's a lot of comments that I get too from my listeners who are not in like the range that I target from. They're like, we enjoy listening because we want to know what you all are doing. Like going back to the segment on relationships, you know. They was like, oh my goodness, like some of the issues you all think is just for you all, we deal with them too. Or it was good to hear how you all view relationships or view dating. So that was a plus, and I'm glad like I'm getting to everybody, that everybody's enjoying it. And then some people just want to listen in, like I want to know what's going on. I just, and I welcome you too. And like the Snapchat thing, that's something that I did, or viewers can, listeners, I don't know why I keep saying, I'm still in my TV mode, listeners. Listeners can listen in, you know, because a lot of people in our age group don't listen to the radio, which is, I don't know why, I don't know, I always listen to the radio. Just like my wake up in the morning, and they live stream it, they listen online, and then the Snapchat is a way for them to, like, you know, if they're in class listening, which I'm not supposed to, some people put in the headphones and listen in class, and they'll snap me and they want to tell their opinions or concerns. So I want to be a resource so that I'm using all my resources to get them in, get them listening, and voicing their opinions and concerns.
So you're still making a podcast from all of your shows, correct?
Yes.
And where can people find those?
They can find those at whatshaynasay.weebly.com, and I keep the current shows.
How do you spell Weebly?
W-E-E-B-L-E. I mean, B-L-Y. I can't spell. W-E-E-B-L-Y. And make sure you put it in. Don't do the www dot. Just go ahead and type in whatshaynasay.weebly.com.
Or find What Shayna Say on Facebook.
Yeah, and I also put the show, I put the podcasts on Facebook as well.
This is the first time we've had a fellow radio show host in here, and you just mentioned
starting a trend,
right? Yeah, I know. We'll do a tour.
Okay.
I would love to have Future and Joy in here, actually.
Yeah,
they're really bright.
Definitely. Yeah,
definitely.
I would too. So let me know.
Why? So you said, you know, kids these days, they don't listen to the radio, but you obviously did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of radio did you grow up listening to?
Okay, so I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I don't know if I should say that, in
no,
in
you're
Lexington.
That's fine. Yeah. You're here now.
I am a U of L fan. I hope that doesn't hold anything against me. You know.
That on the other hand.
Go Cats. I have to give my birds, my Cardinals that. But we're not going to cut that because I like that. I would hate to ruin our friendship, you know? No, but I listen to B96.5 and 101.3 a lot. Russ Parr in the morning, the Tom Joyner morning show. It was basically, my mom, she used to play Tom Joyner all the time. And then I started listening to Russ Parr in the morning, which was on, Tom Joyner was on 101.3 and Russ Parr was on B96.5. So that was more of the younger people. And then 101.3 did more of the new neo soul and Odie Goldie, so she listened to that one. But I mean, every morning I have that one playing in my room. She had hers playing in her room, so if we walk past the other room, we hear it. And I just loved how they just, you know, had that feel. They was telling me the what was Karen, what was going on, the celebrity drama, jokes. You know, they always did like a horoscope in the morning. Like, it was outrageous stuff they just made off the top of their head, and it was just so engaging, and it got me excited for the day. So that's what I want to do for people, you know. I want to be that morning show to get you up, get you ready, and get you started for your day.
So is that like having those specific segment ideas, is that where the idea for a the hot mess of the week
came from? It definitely did. I listen to, because when I was in Moorhead, there really was no station that appealed to me, per se. So I would listen to Sway in the morning online and stuff, stations right. I can get online, and still listen. Every one of those morning shows or shows always had a niche. You know, they had the horoscope, or they have the Celebrity Wire. So me, it was the hot mess of the week, you know, because that'd be a hot mess.
Give us an example of the hot mess.
A hot mess. Okay, I'm just going to give you, okay, let me see. Let me break it down, hot mess.
Okay.
For the regular folks like me.
Because I know some people in my life who might qualify for that.
Okay, so have you ever been somewhere, maybe a grocery store, maybe a female had on leggings, and you could see her underwear through the leggings, mm-hmm. because they're not really leggings, they're stockings, right? that's a hot mess, you know? Right.
You have to CTC.
Yeah.
Cover that up,
you know? So that could be qualified as a hot mess. I usually do it more on sometimes a celebrity level, because, you know, they have the biggest hot mess. And I don't know what it is with us, but we like to know what celebrities are doing, so I like to get their hot messes.
Who's the hot mess today?
Today was, again, she is the returning hot mess was Shanae O'Connor.
A two-time hot mess?
Yes. Oh, I mean, she just won't stop. I got to keep. She accused Arsenio Hall of being a drug dealer. And then when he's trying to sue her for $5 million, she went missing. So I had to talk about that. That's a hot mess. You got to stand by what you say. You know, you can't run. So I thought that was a hot mess. Arsenio Hall, drug dealer? Oh, no, I just can't.
Arsenio Hall?
He's one of my idols. I look up to him.
Yeah, he's great. It's like the last name you'd think of.
Yeah. How dare her?
It was Sinead O'Connor?
Yes.
I thought she'd kind of like drifted away.
After Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, right.
Well, that brought her back for a little while. But she literally
went down to the police station, filed a complaint against Arsenio Hall, and said he is the reason that Prince died because he has been issuing him drugs.
Oh, okay. So she's back with, because she did, she nothing, did some, nothing compares to you.
Yeah.
So she had something to say about.
Yeah, she made accusations against Prince a long time ago. So we'll see. This is all allegedly. So.
Yes, allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly.
All that and more every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with LaShana Sawyers on What Shana Say. It's on 93.9 WLXU. An interactive community radio show that discusses current events in the African American community and regular updates on Sinead O'Connor. What's the future of the show look like, Shana?
You know, I've been thinking, you know, I'm out of school, so now I have a little time to kind of do an outline. I'm not trying to study for tests and do the show at the same time. It's so wonderful.
It's the best, being out of school and not having to go to school anymore.
Hallelujah. Can I get the listeners to say a hallelujah? But the next I want to I want to do, you know, I'm big on promotion. Like I said, I want to brand myself, brand the show, get it out there, get people listening. So one way I was thinking is, I've noticed at Kentucky, we have a lot of a lot of local artists, like rappers, singers, DJs. So what I'm going to try to do is once a month get a local artist in, promote their music, clean, of course, because my granny and mama's listening, you know.
We did that a few months ago, and we had a guy with the acoustic guitar play for us, and it sounded fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm going to start like a promotion, and maybe like people who post my post so many and get so many likes, you will be in line for getting on the show. You'll tell us, we'll play a song. You tell us about, you know, what you want to do with music, how you see music going. So be looking out for that.
Check out her podcast at whatshaynasay.weebly. That's weebly.com. No www. We're streamlined in this day and age.
Yeah.
also find her on What Shayna Say on Facebook. Thanks for coming in, Shayna.
Thank you all for having me. I'm happy to bring you on, you know?
Congratulations on the show.
All right. Thank you all. And keep up the good work.
All right. We'll be right back. We're going to play a song or two. And this is Bluegrass Bios. All right, we're back on the air. This is Bluegrass Bios on WLXL LPFM, Lexington Community Radio. We're on the air now with Chris Vandergrift. He's the, and Chris, I'm going to read out a whole bunch of things so you can correct me if I'm wrong on any of these attributions, all right?
All right.
All right, he's the co-founder and event manager of LexBeerScene.com and the head organizer of the Lexington Fest of Ales and Lexington Craft Beer Week, which is this week. It's a festival of events, tastings, tap takeovers, new releases, a beer cheese contest, special offers, and more at local breweries and restaurants all week long from the 13th to the 22nd all over Lexington. For more information, you can go to LexBeerScene.com or check them out on Facebook and Twitter. How'd I do?
Yeah, that's really good.
All right, great. Well, thank you for coming on with us today, Chris.
Happy to be here.
So how much has gone into setting up this year's, this fourth annual Craft Beer Week?
It takes quite a bit of work up front to get everything organized and keep everybody on task and meet all the deadlines for submissions, because we also do a book that's in the South Cider and Chevy Chaser. And so getting everybody to submit everything that they want to do before the deadline is quite challenging. There's quite a bit of work involved there.
Particularly since this is not your day job, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. This is just a side, almost for fun kind of thing.
What do you do, Chris?
I'm an electrical engineer.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's fine. I was going to say I do hospital design.
All right. So how'd you get involved with, to the point where you wanted to start a website about craft beer in Lexington?
Well, I'm a longtime home brewer, and I've been a member of the local homebrew club for nearly 15 years. And at one point I was president of the club, and I started organizing events for the club. This was back 2000, maybe 2006 or so. And after that, that's when all the breweries started opening up as well, after I was president. And so I've known all of these people since way before they even thought about opening a brewery. And I got involved with them, you know, from the ground floor, helping them scale up recipes and things like that. And I actually got tired of trying to figure out where to go on, say, Friday or Saturday if I wanted to go and have a beer somewhere.
Right.
I got tired of searching 20, 30, you know, Facebook pages to see what's going on here and what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of figured, you know, if I could find a common calendar useful, surely somebody else would too. And that's how the website started. It was just supposed to be a conglomeration of all these different places in one place so we could see all their events.
Hey Chris, it's Lexington. So Lexington, the city, has such a vibrant beer scene and just such a great beer community. What is it about this city that has been so fruitful for beer makers and beer lovers?
You know, I'm not really sure. It's taken off across the country in any medium-sized city. As long as there's a love for the local, the brewers, as long as they're making good product, we'll find a home and a bassist that loves what they do. So I don't think Lexington is particularly unique in that way. They are unique in that the city loves local and they want to support local. And good for them that they're all making really good quality products. So they all get equal support, and they all work together really well. There's not much competition between the five or six breweries we have here in town. They actually work together really well. They collaborate, and they borrow things from each other when they need them. So it's a really nice, dynamic working arrangement that they all have.
Where do you think this obsession with home brewery sort of began then? Because you're right, it's sort of coming up all over the place. We were talking off air about how Denver has a burgeoning craft beer scene. Even my hometown of St. Louis, there are breweries popping up left and right. Why did you decide that this was something that you wanted to get involved with?
As far as the website?
No, as far as brewing as a hobby.
Well, I think for me, it interested me because I was in the sciences. I was a physics major for a while, took a lot of chemistry, and I had some friends that were members of the local homebrewing club, and they said, you need to come and hang out. And when I went and started talking to the people, they were really serious about the chemistry behind it, and it all made immediate sense to me. And so I sort of had a head start because of my, you know, what I studied in college. And so it was almost an equation for me to figure out how to do it. And that's what really got me into it, was the actual science side behind it all.
Do you remember the first brewery that you created, concocted?
I don't. It was probably one of those pre-boxed kits. It's been so long ago, I really don't remember what it was.
And how has it evolved from there? I mean, there are stores all over the city that sell, any kind of variety of grain, hops, different sort of infusion ingredients. How has your recipe evolved in the last 15 years?
Well, I actually haven't brewed for about 2 years.
Okay.
I have a small child at home, so I don't have the time anymore. But I always had a focus where I would focus on one particular style and try to get it perfect, and then I would move on and try another one and try another one. So for me, it was about perfecting something and then marking it off the list. I didn't really evolve so much as trying new things as often as I would trying to perfect one thing before I moved on.
So
go ahead.
So what was your most successful? Was it, you know, the Saison or the IPA? What was your favorite that you created?
Well, I actually have a few recipes on tap around town. Shotgun Wedding at Country Boy is based on one of my old recipes.
Really?
That one's pretty successful. Belgian Showers, which is on at Blue Stallion right now, that is actually my specific recipe. The Christmas Ale at West 6th that they come out with each year, that one is one that I was pretty proud of back in the day. So I never really was a hop head, hoppy kind of guy, so I stuck to the malty and spicy sort of things.
Well, that's a good
brown ale stouts.
That's a good segue into what are the venues are for Lexington Craft Beer Week. Can you tell us about a few of the places that are that people should stop by at?
Sure. All of the local breweries are having wonderful things. Country Boy, Ethereal, West 6th, Blue Stallion, and Alltech is actually, they're out at other places because they don't have their tap room open yet. But those are all great places. The Beer Trap is doing some really cool special beers. Hopcat is doing all sorts of tap takeovers. They've got a ton of taps down there. There's so many that I know that I forget people that I should probably mention. But those are the ones that come to my brain first. Yeah.
All right. So I have a question here from our GM Chuck Clenny. He wanted me to ask you this. Where do the different breweries fit as far as being a niche in the market? Right? Are there certain breweries that do something better than others?
Yes, actually, it's a really neat thing that we have going on right now in Lexington. Each brewery sort of has their own specific beer set that they do that nobody else in town does. You know, West Six makes a great IPA, and they make a great amber, and that's sort of their staple. Nobody else in town has this highly marketed IPA and amber ale. Blue Stallion focuses on English beers and German beers, lagers. Nobody else in town does lagers regularly. Ethereal, their focus is mostly Belgian and sour ales. Nobody else does that. And Country Boy does the Shotgun Wedding and the Cougar Bait, which is an American blonde ale.
Yeah, I love that.
They each have their own specific thing that nobody else is encroaching, which is really neat. If you go to each place at a different time, you'll notice that the clientele is distinctly different at each place as well. And you'll see some crossover, some people that go to this place that go to the other place. But at the same time, you'll notice a distinct difference in the crowds. It's a really neat dynamic that they have going on.
A lot of beards at Country Boy.
Oh, yeah. A lot of beards. A lot of suits at West Sixth, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So what's some of the stranger beers that you've tried around town?
You know what? Some of the strangest ones are going to be coming out today here at noon. Blue Stallion is having what they call a test batch takeover, where they're taking 17 test batches, mostly from homebrewers, and putting those up on tap, taking over the taps with them. And they've got all kinds of, like, chili beer, and there's bourbon ball beer, and fruit beer, just all kinds of really strange, bizarre things. I just saw the list for the first time yesterday of what all they were doing. And there's a hibiscus beer, IPAs with wild yeast. I'd say that is probably the widest array focused in any one point for the week of neat, fun, interesting beers.
I'm looking at the list now, and it is, I mean, oatmeal cookie, cinnamon and chili. There's one I can't even pronounce. It does look like a great variety of beers, a great way to try something new. And, of course, everyone at all of these breweries is so knowledgeable. They'll always be there to help you out, to help you pick the right beer.
Yeah, and tonight, if anybody goes to that, most of the homebrewers that helped brew the batches should be there too. So you can probably get pointed in the direction of the person that came up with the idea and the recipe if you're there this evening. And that also, you can't get pints today if you go to this with the crazy beers. They come in 5-ounce samplers.
Okay.
So you can get two at a time, and so you don't have to just sit and drink a whole pint of something that if you want to get on to the next thing and try something else.
Go ahead, Lex. No. All right. So I want to circle back around to the chemistry a little bit here, because when you're talking about a chili cinnamon or a hibiscus flower brew, this is not just like a pot of stew, right? You don't just all throw the ingredients in. What has to be done to make... Or am I wrong? Like, do you just toss in whatever? Like, can I throw some cactus in there or something, and now I have a cactus beer?
Yeah, you can get that simple and straightforward with it if you want to. Most of these flavorings that you see, the hibiscus and the cinnamon and chili, they're all mostly added at the same time, which is into the boil, so it kind of is sort of a big kettle. But the steps that go on before you get to that point for each particular one are pretty detailed. You have to do what's called the mash. You have to do the runoff. You have to rinse the grain again before you even get to that point where it's sitting in the kettle. So, but most of those things that you see, most of the flowers and this sort of thing are added into the kettle there. So it's sort of a little bit of what you tried to describe there.
So what materials at home do you need to start out with, like pots and pans and stuff like that? What's my shopping list?
As a beginner, you'll need a big pot that'll hold. Usually the batches are measured out in 5 gallon increments. So
okay.
If you're boiling liquid, you know, you'd need a pot that's 6 or 7 gallons. You would need a what's called a carboy, which is the thing that you see in office water coolers, the upside down water dispenser thing.
Okay.
Or a bucket. You can use a bucket with a lid as well. You can get those at the homebrew shop. Those are the two biggest investments. Okay. Aside from that, you can start at that ground level and go up, you know, as far as hundreds of dollars. But you can the pot. A lot of people don't like aluminum pots, so if you go stainless, it's a little bit expensive. But
yeah, you know, might be worth it
if you're. Yeah, or you could borrow some. You know, that's a good way to get started as well.
And with your nice thing. With your kit.
Thing about. Yeah.
With your kits, can you get like bottles that where you can maybe sort of bottle your home brews with?
Yes, absolutely. I forgot about that part. You can either bottle or keg, which the keg you do once you've moved on a little bit. You want to bottle for a little while because the kegs are quite an investment as well.
Mm.
But doing the bottles, you find once you do it for so long that bottling is a real pain in the neck. With all the cleaning and the scrubbing and the filling the individual bottles, it irritates you after a while. If you can just pour it all into one big keg, it's a lot easier.
Chris Vandergrift, co-founder of LexBeerScene.com and head organizer of Lexington Craft Beer Week. It's going on right now. It's from the 13th to the 22nd in breweries and restaurants all over Lexington. For more information, go to LexBeerScene.com or check them out on Facebook and Twitter. Chris, can you tell us about the blog on your website a little bit? You've got quite a few bloggers that seem to have a separate expertise.
Yeah, our main contributor, his name is Dion. He's a good friend of mine. He went on a quest several years ago. He wanted to try one new beer every day.
A noble quest.
And it's a noble quest. And he decided he was going to do it for a year, 365 days, and he was going to try 365 beers. And I looked this morning, and he's up around 1,700 days or so without a missed beer. Yeah. And he doesn't bank them either. He has to have it. He has to taste it that day. You know, there's no having two or three today and you're good till the weekend. You have to have it that day, sick or not sick. It's a commitment, that's for sure.
The man is a hero, no doubt.
So we actually were able to use his reviews to link up to the we show all the taps around town, what's on tap everywhere. We were able to take and link his reviews to what's on tap. So if Dion has had this particular beer over at Hop Cat, you can click on his face and it'll take you to what he thought about it.
He's Chris Vandergrift of LexBeerScene.com. Chris, thank you for coming on with us. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners about Lexington Craft Beer Week to entice them?
I don't think so. I mean, there's something for everybody. So regardless of what your excuse is that you've not been to any of the breweries yet, this week there's no excuse.
There you go.
Try something.
Go out and get a taste, Lexington. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We are Bluegrass Bios. We're going to go to music here for a moment. I think we'll be back probably after a song or two. Stay tuned to 95.7 WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio.